D-Mays Finken and
Airplanes. It's a...
I can't spit it out. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I am in charge of the music today. And it's Duck going...
DuckTales.
Okay.
Everything that I've been making.
I knew you would like it. Ooh. I knew you would like
it. Come on, I love that, man.
So I've been trying to get my son this week to watch all of the Disney cartoons I loved to watch when I was younger.
He don't like DuckTales?
Like DuckTales and others that you're going to be hearing throughout the course of the show. So I'm feeling a bit nostalgic.
Me as well.
Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Chad, how are you?
Doing well. And guys, who hasn't wanted to swim in gold bars before?
That's right. That's right.
Very aspirational when I watched that show.
Shout out Scrooge McDuck. So, yep. Chad, fill in the blank for me. The most interesting thing I, meaning you, the most interesting thing I heard during Robert Saleh's news conference was blank, and tell us why.
I think just him laying out what the team is going to be from an identity standpoint. You know, he talked about being violent, playing fast, playing confident, and talking a little bit of trash along the way. I think that clarity of purpose and sort of what he's looking for, you know, it sounds hokey. I think most coaches win the press conference, and if they don't win it, very few lose the press conference right out of the gates. They're all usually pretty polished and good at doing these things. I thought Robert Saleh was excellent yesterday. I thought he won the press conference. But the thing that stood out to me was that one quote about what he's looking for in a player and what he's looking for with his team to do, and how he's talking about he wants people to be excited watching the team because there's going to be an identity and a purpose to the group that he coaches. I think if you can simplify things and guys feel like they're that type of player and they're bought in, that's a big part of the battle. With any team. So I was really impressed with really just his clarity of focus and how he had an identity laid out for what he wants in a player and what he wants from this Titans team. I thought that was very well done by Saleh.
What is your very early expectation of Cam Ward as being coached by Brian Daboll?
It's to be Josh Allen. No, I'm kidding. It's not to be Josh Allen immediately, but wouldn't that be nice, guys? Right? That's the template to follow. Is Brian Daboll helped shape Josh Allen into who he is now. So if that could work out for Cam Ward, that would obviously be a gigantic win for the Titans. But, you know, I think just understanding that Cam Ward's got a long way to go, but helping him immediately eliminate some of the things that got him in trouble in year one and just amplifying what makes him so talented. I think that's a key. I don't know that there's just a set stat line or win total or anything I want to see. Guys, I just want to see a coach that gives Cam Ward the necessary tools and with him helps him form a game plan and call plays that he loves, that he's comfortable with, where you just see that improvement. You know, the fumble issue or interceptions go down or just him making the right decision goes up. I want to see that in year one with Brian Daboll. And I think it's a great hire. I think he's more than capable of doing that for Cam Ward. But that's really what I want to see right now. I don't know if there's just a set goal that I'm looking at and saying he has to do X in year one. I just want to see the elimination of some of those bad traits, and I want to see some of the good traits of Cam Ward amplified right away.
Now, Chad, he did say, which I found very interesting, and we talked about it yesterday, about, you know, basically – cleaning everything up that he did last year, just wiping it all away and starting from ground zero. Basically what he said, how he walks into the building, how he operates in the building, things that he does within the building and with this team. Is that more of an indictment on the last coaching staff that this coaching staff, at least Saleh, don't believe that they truly maximize Cam Ward's ability to play the quarterback position?
I do. I think it's an indictment on the previous staff, and I think that's what they're saying, is that we saw some bad habits. You know, when you watch them on film, when you see them, we saw some things we definitely want to clean up and wipe away and just wipe that slate clean from a year ago. But, I mean, I think any coach is going to want to do that when they come in. I don't think it's just, hey, this is you know, they talk about year zero for the coach, right? And then it's year one and year two and all of that stuff. I think it's hokey and I think it's wrong in terms of this, because Cam Ward played an entire season. Now, he's not going to get an entire offseason because of the injury in the last game, but he's a season in now. So I don't think you're restarting the clock and acting like, oh, he hasn't played in the NFL before simply because it's a new coaching staff. But I do think it is a reset of, and that goes for everyone too. I think the message from Saleh is also, look, we're wiping the slate clean with everyone. We've seen your film. We know what we like. We know what we don't like about you. But we're also not going to come in and judge right away. We're going to give the players an opportunity to get with what we're doing and show what they have in the system. The same goes for Cam Ward. So it's a reset of how you practice, how you study film, like you said, D-Mace, how you walk in the building, how you present to your teammates, how you present to the coaches, all of that, and then you start building from there. But I also didn't take it as a, hey, this is year one all over again, and you know, don't worry about anything last year. Don't worry about improvement. We're starting over. They want to see improvement. Titans fans want to see improvement. I want to see improvement.
Now, there was something else that he said in regards to this team, and not necessarily with the players, but he talked about his coaches, which I don't remember hearing Vrabel talk about it. And I'm not saying that Vrabel should have, and I definitely didn't hear Brian Callahan talk about it, was we talk so much about the development of players, but who develops the coaches? Because the question was asked, you know, hey, Daboll, if he gets this offense going, then more than likely he will be gone to take a head coaching job. Well, Saleh basically said, which I haven't heard, was listen, we understand that, but it's about developing our coaches that's behind those coaches that may ultimately get a head coaching job.
See, I love that. Mm-hmm. I really do, because if you're going to lose a coordinator, and you're right, any good organization is going to lose coordinators because they're going to be successful. And the moment you get successful, I mean, you know, you're going to lose guys quickly to go somewhere else. Arthur Smith leaving the Titans to take the Falcons job. Matt LaFleur. We've seen it before throughout the history of the Titans, guys who are successful that leave and go somewhere else. When you have the ability to promote from within, it doesn't have to be a young coach. It could be an older coach, but a position coach that you feel like understands what you're doing and understands that system, and you can just promote them. That's such a much more of a benefit, I think, in the NFL than going out and just hiring someone that the head coach knows because he worked with them at some point along the way or something else. So I thought that was a really good point. And just like with a roster, you know, 1 through 53, you're developing the back end of that roster to be ready to play when the starter goes down or when the backup goes down, or you're preparing them through playing special teams and maybe a backup role, but they're going to have to be a starter at some point. I think those same rules should apply to coaches, right? I mean, if you're the running backs coach, you should be ready to be an offensive coordinator when that time comes. And if you're the head coach or the offensive coordinator and you're not teaching well enough or training guys to be in that pipeline to start that farm system of coaching, I don't think you're really doing your job. So I kind of liked how Saleh laid that out, and I would totally agree with him.
Chad Withrow is with us. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. You hear them both each week here on our show, DVD. So, Chad, I know you were pretty outspoken, opinionated on the situation in college basketball in general, but also specifically in the SEC with the Alabama center coming in from the G League. It does still seem surreal to me that we've gone here. And I do wonder in every sport, like in hockey, where you have college players who have been drafted by teams who hold their rights for 3 or 4 years, very different than the baseball system, which also has its issue. Can you imagine taking minor league players and putting them in the SEC? Where does it end? But this is a line that I think has been crossed. But tell me your thoughts on, because we're just starting, right, getting our arms around this, and you've got a really difference-making player, I think, for Alabama that is going to be a big story from now until the end of the season.
Well, you're spot on, Billy. And I mean, Charles Bediako, I mean, think about this. The guy goes away for 2 years, comes back really 3 years later after playing for 2 years at Alabama. His first go around, he was just a rim protector, rebounder, defensive specialist, didn't really score, made a bad decision to go pro. But as Rick Barnes said before that Tennessee Alabama game, the understanding of everyone and the rule is when you give up your eligibility, whether right or wrong, you give it up. And Rick Barnes said, I've had plenty of guys who went pro after a year or two and would have loved to have come back a year later when they were playing in the G League because they made a mistake and they knew it, you know, right away. But that's not how it works. Whether the decision is right or wrong, when you give up that eligibility after using some of it, then you forfeit that eligibility. That's the way the rule should work. That's the way it's always worked. But Bediako was this rim protector defensive specialist. In night number one against Tennessee, he had a career high. That's not by mistake. He played professional basketball for the last 2 years. He's gotten better. I still don't think he's a great offensive player, but he is a difference maker for Alabama, a team that's lacking in the front court, and immediately gives them a boost as they try to get their team ready to go on a long run in March. So I think it's wrong. I think Nate Oates doing this mental gymnastics around the issue, much like he did when there was a murder on his team and he didn't suspend Brandon Miller and all of that was going on. It's just sickening to me. And I want to get rid of the phoniness in the sport. I mean, just say what you're doing, man. Let's not do a Sirius XM interview 2 weeks before talking about how it's bad for the sport. But, you know, I guess we'll have to look into it. And then Alabama fans pretending they're trying to fix the sport by doing this. Oh, we're just forcing the issue so we can bring it to the NCAA and get this fixed once and for all. I mean, give me a break. It would be the equivalent if Tennessee took Kennedy Chandler back. He would still have time on his clock. Think about that. It feels like Kennedy Chandler played in 2015. He played 3 years ago and was a one and done for Tennessee. It's ridiculous to me, and I hope they figure it out.
I do too, but it is interesting. I like the coaches who were at least honest enough, and there's been more than one, that rather than get real righteous about it, and those are important too. Like John Calipari, he said, look, we're not taking those guys, and you shouldn't have those guys in your team. But other coaches are honest enough to say it's a self-preservation type of quality that really everybody has. If there's a player that they could put on their team that can magically help a guy preserve his job, then they're going to take that guy. So on some level, I don't blame the coaches because of that. They're going to get fired. So what do they have to lose? But that's why, and I still can't see it, where they're going to get the leadership and the ability to nip this in the bud and get rules, because they're different in every sport. I just wonder where this could go. What's to keep a football player from getting drafted in the NFL, not liking where he's drafted, and then coming back and cashing in and getting more money to stay an extra year in college? Like, there's no limit to where this could end if you just keep letting people come back and play.
There's no limit to it, and also it's now going to work both ways. And this is where I think it could get really tricky for college basketball and the NCAA. And I think it was the New York Times and The Athletic did this story about what this would mean for the NBA and that delicate balance of the understanding of college and the NBA and how they've worked so well together. Well, now, if this rule sticks for Bediako, every single freshman in college, when they're a year removed from high school, should enter the NBA draft after their first year. If it doesn't matter, if you do that, you enter the draft. If you go undrafted, you could then come back to college, play for your team, and let's say, and I forget the player, it's a player for the Golden State Warriors that was used as the example, a guy who I think was at Santa Clara or somewhere like that. They could go back, play college basketball, average 25 a game as a transfer somewhere, and theoretically get signed as a free agent because they're now eligible for the NBA. So the NBA could reverse this and start taking college players midseason to go play for them if they have a need. That would not be good for college basketball either, right? So it just, by every rule that we've ever watched sports or participated in it with, it just doesn't make any logical sense. I get what you're saying, Willie, about coaches are going to try to win. They're going to try to keep their own job. They're going to do what's best for them, and I understand that. But also at some point, I think Stephen Pearl actually said this. At some point, I got to go talk to the parents of the kids I recruited there. And if I'm just going in and getting a 24-year-old and saying, your kid's not ever good enough to play on this team, the one who's not getting as many minutes and I'm not developing him, that's a tough thing to tell the parents of the people that you recruited from high school to be in that program. So there's a lot of ways to look at this. I think most of them are negative.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donahue joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, as always, great stuff. Stay warm. We'll talk next week.
All right. Same to you guys. Thank you. Always fun.
615-737-1025. We will get back into the Robert Saleh conversation coming up next. I want to get Derek's and Willie's opinions on something I've seen pointed out about the news conference yesterday, and I don't know if it's a big deal, a little deal, or no deal. And we'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.